Welcome to the Talking Nutrition Podcast, where twice a week, you'll learn about all things health, fitness, and mindset. I'm your host, Yoel Investors, and it's my goal to simplify nutrition, provide you with actionable strategies, and teach you repeatable systems so you can create real results at last. Now, real quick, you won't find any crazy restrictive diets or quick fixes here, and the stuff that we talk about is basic, easy to apply, and effective. However, the only way to create change is by putting what you learn into action. Now go ahead and grab yourself a coffee, pour me one while you're at it, and let's dive into the episode. What's up, and welcome to episode 97 of the Talking Nutrition Podcast. We're a little late, a little behind schedule today, and that's okay. Sometimes it just gets busy, you know, but we're back. I'm going to make sure that we stick to our two a week for now. We have a lot of really cool questions from Instagram, actually. So I want to basically dive in. I have a few updates, and then we'll just get started. Personal update, coaching related, and then I wanted to start with a bit of a story of a client of mine, a conversation I had today, which really, I feel like this one plays into just stress in general. And I think a lot of you listening may also have these kind of moments where you kind of feel like, you know what, you know, I'm just going to stop. I'll give up, let's call it, and I'm going to throw in the towel. And for now, like, it's just not the right time. And I do get that, right? Obviously, there are, like, let's be honest, there are times where things just work against us. And hey, maybe we do need to course correct, change our plans, whatever it is. But either way, there's always something we can do, and there's always something we should do. So let's first actually get into the personal episode before we just right away roll into that story. And like I said, I do have a lot of really good questions, so I want to stick to just about 30 minutes today, and then potentially go into a second Q&A, which would really be the third in a row, the next time as well. Maybe combined with a couple client stories, or maybe like mostly like Christmas context, because I think this time of the year, it's one of those times where, you know, we really start to, I don't know, like almost feel some pressure, some stress maybe around the social settings. And this of course depends whether you are maybe, you know, beginner, or a more experienced person, like when it comes to nutrition training and stuff, right? How you're going to deal with this. But let's make sure that you kind of like go in with the right expectations. And I actually had everyone do a really cool worksheet to plan for Christmas, but also reflect on the year and plan for the new year. So that being said, this is something I will share with you next time, because I think you too can actually benefit off of that. Now, first, a personal update. So I've been getting back into getting coached myself, I should say. I've had a really good year of maintaining where I was, just because I wanted to focus on coaching, to be honest with you. I kept my training low on purpose. My nutrition has been, you know, good. I just maintained like for most of the year. As some of you know, I did do a mini cut earlier in the year. I just kind of like, you know, chilled afterwards. But I did a DEXA scan last week, and it came back. It was great. Results are very, very much where I would like them to be. And to be honest with you, I expected less muscle mass based on, you know, yeah, the relatively little training I did until now. So now we're ramping it up again. I'm personally getting coached again, and I've always invested in coaching myself since the very beginning. Basically since the second month I started coaching myself, you know, I got a mentor. And since then, I've had different mentor and coaches. And I think it's something we can all benefit off of. And hey, like my coach has a coach too, and my mentors have mentors too. And, you know, they also have like a coach or mentor. So I think coaching is just something where it's so helpful to have that set of like objective eyes and ears, and having someone on your team who can really kind of like one, guide you, but also, you know, you can go back and forth with them. I mean, that's also why we do what we do at OCS. You know what I mean? That's why I'm so passionate about this stuff, because I truly believe in it. And that's why I invested in myself. And I have a lot of money also, by the way. And I will continue to do so, because I truly, truly believe in it. Which also, it kind of blows my mind sometimes when like other coaches or PTs like are not willing to be coached themselves. It's kind of like, okay, well, so you say that you kind of believe in this stuff, but then you're not kind of like walking the walk. You know what I mean? Because I think as coaches, like we need to do the thing as well. Go through muscle gain phases, perform at the gym, fat loss phases, you know, whatever it is, reverse diets, maintenance. We need to kind of show like, hey, you know, we're willing to do this ourselves too. And I think that's an important thing. If anything, it also gives you more context. And that being said, I'm sharing a lot more about this on my Instagram. So if you are not following me yet, go to yourinvestors_OCS, and I'll link that in the show notes as well. If you want to follow me on Instagram, I went back to training 5 times a week. I'm doing 10K steps a day, for which I got a walking pad. That's been a huge difference. So I have like a stand-up desk, and this has been great. I can do my work, get some steps in the meantime, and I'm just hitting like 10K consistently now. And it's actually easy. It's so great. Before, I really had to make a point of like going on multiple walks. And that was just, you know, kind of just happens. Also doing cardio. That's been a big addition for me, because I wasn't doing any for quite a while. And I started noticing that. Now, I will say this. I've been skiing. I've been, you know, going hunting a lot. So I've been out in the mountains quite a bit. But like actually doing like, you know, cardio. Now we're adding like 30 minutes on treadmill incline at like a good pace, you know, 3 times a week. So that's a new one for me, which is great. I definitely need that, to be honest with you. And also there, right? Hey, as a coach, I also need to walk to walk, like I said, and that's what I'm doing here. I'll be sharing a lot more about my journey, but we just did 3 weeks of maintenance where I just kind of like ate more. We increased protein. And with all the training volume, of course, there's been a little bit of a recomp going on because, you know, like I didn't train that much before. It's way more volume now. The increase in protein sometimes can lead to a little bit of recomp. And it's just been an overall really nice change. So I'm already a little bit leaner, a little bit more muscle now. Now we're moving into fat loss, basically a mini cut, maybe 6 to 9 weeks. We'll have to see. But there's going to be a diet break, obviously, during Christmas. So that's going to be a break and then continue again. So that's that for my personal journey. And like I said, I'll be sharing a lot more about that in my Instagram story. So again, that is including macros, changes we make and those kind of things. Remember that, of course, my macros are just not really useful to you at all in any way. Because, I mean, that's personal, it's individual. And I know there's a lot of coaches out there who like don't agree with, you know, people kind of sharing that and stuff. And I do understand where they're coming from, but you know what? I think it's okay to share that stuff. You know what I mean? It's not like a bad thing necessarily to share your macros, whatever it is, or what meals you're eating, etc. But you need to give plenty of context. And that's why every single time I tell people like, hey, these numbers are just for you to kind of see, hey, in practice, what this could look like, the adjustments, etc. But obviously they do not apply to you, just how your macros do not apply to me. So just keep that in mind. So that is that. Now also, really, really cool news. We brought on our second coach, Alexandra Norton. So she's a chiropractor, PT, and nutrition coach, and has now officially joined our team. So I couldn't be more excited. I'm very proud to have her on our team. And it's really cool. It's really cool to finally expand. And that's been the goal. You know, if you've been listening for a little while, you know that initially, like the start of this year, we actually changed the company name from Vestas Nutrition to Odyssey Coaching Systems. And that's simply because I want this thing to be bigger than me. You know what I mean? And I'm not going to be able to, you know, change everyone's lives on my own. And everyone would be, you know, too much to do anyway. But we can help a lot of people. There's just a limit to how many people I personally, as an individual, can help. And because I know we have something really cool going on, I have to spread this. I have to help more people. And it's really become my mission. That's why I want to bring more coaches on, create a bigger team of awesome coaches who know their shit, who can really help you. And that's why I'm so excited. It's like the next chapter for us, you know, so I'm very happy to share that with you. So that being said, we are celebrating not just Christmas and the new year and the new coach, as well as my birthday on January 2nd. For that reason, I'm going to be giving away 1 or 2 free months of coaching when you sign up with Alexandra. So here's how it works, right? We only coach with people for at least 6 months. That's our minimum commitment, and we do not do anything shorter. That's for a reason. We take this stuff very serious. We want to work with you. We want to get you results, but it's going to take time. Let's be honest. And you're not going to transform your body in like 4 weeks. And anyone who tells you that is straight up lying, because that's not a thing. It does not exist. And if someone tells you, again, like it's a quick fix, it's, you know, doesn't work. So that's why we do 6 months. So if you sign up for 6, I'm actually going to give you a 7th month for free. Or if you want to commit to 12 months, you will get 14 instead, right? So you get 2 free bonus months. Plus, I'm going to throw in early access for all of December. So when you sign up, you can instantly get started. You don't have to wait for January 1st. You get started right away. And guys, obviously, like, we're not going to have you diet through Christmas and those kind of things. Of course not. We want to teach you how to include those moments. Like, that's why I want to actually encourage you to kind of just dive in. That's why I want to give you also December for free. So basically, like, anytime you sign up, right, the sooner you do, the more free weeks you get, kind of thing. But we then officially start in January 1st. And like I said, you get 1 or 2 free months on top of your commitment. So that being said, you can go to the link in our show notes. I'll make sure to drop that as well, together with my Instagram. And now we can get into the episode. So remember too, right? So we only have limited spots. That's going to be 10 spots for all of December and January. And personally, I do not have any available spots. My roster is full. So you'd be working with Alexander, which I'm very, very confident in. And if you want to work with me, then you're going to have to wait at least, you know, multiple months. So I advise coaching with her. And obviously, I'm going to be there overseeing everything and working with her as well. So basically, you got kind of like 2 for 1, you know? Now, let's get into the Q&A episode, because I have a lot of really cool questions and I do want to stick to 30 minutes. If you want to help us grow the show, feel free to leave a quick 5-star rating on Apple or Spotify. And of course, if you don't yet, make sure to hit follow too, so that you know exactly when a new episode comes up. And of course, if you want to do a Q&A, like we do these all the time, you know? So if you have a question, hit me up and then we'll put you on the list. Now, let's get into Q&A and a little bit of a client story afterwards. First of all, a question about having a busy day. And this is very similar to another question that we're going to have coming up. It's actually from a fellow PT. So she says, would you prioritize waking up an hour earlier to work out and sleep a little bit less, or skip the workout to make sure you get enough sleep, and why? Big it depends question. And there's not one answer to this question, but I'll do my best here. So first of all, I would like to see what the rest of your week looks like, because we're obviously talking about one single day here. It's like waking up an hour early to work out, or we're going to skip it and get more sleep in. I guess it depends on the context mostly. How often did you train this week? How much sleep did you get this week? I think if you answer those questions for yourself, you're going to have a better idea already. Now, let's say you're getting your workouts in pretty consistently. You're maybe on like a 4 or 5 times a week program. And maybe, like, let's say you have, you know, a short night. Okay. You know what? Like, sometimes it may be beneficial to say, you know what? I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to sacrifice quality sleep for a workout. As much as they're both important, sleep is the number one, like, the foundation of, like, almost everything. And if sleep suffers, literally everything else suffers. That goes for performance. That goes for recovery, muscle gain, fat loss, your hormones, everything. Right? So that's a big one. I don't think you should be sacrificing sleep just to get the workout in. What I want to know is, like, hey, can we get both in, right? Ideally. And more often than not, it's very, very possible to do so. We just need to plan better. But okay, maybe, right, you're super busy and you have no other opportunity than to maybe squeeze a workout in early in the morning. And hey, if that's maybe like once a week or something, you know, we're just using different scenarios here. But yeah, maybe then, like, maybe it can be beneficial to add a workout. It can be beneficial to start moving more. But again, I want to see what the rest of the week looks like, because we're talking about sacrificing sleep and we really shouldn't be doing that. I'm thinking out loud here. If you have good sleep the rest of the week, I also don't think it's too bad to maybe have like a night of like, let's call it 6 hours or something.
Hey,
Hey, what's up? Sorry to interrupt. I promise we'll keep it short. As you already know, we don't do ads here, and I really just do this podcast out of passion for helping everyday people like yourself learn more and get results. Now, because I do this absolutely for free, would it be cool to ask you for a quick rating on Spotify or Apple? You can do it while you're listening. It really just takes a few seconds, and it would actually mean the world to me and help us grow the show and reach more people like you. Thank you so much. Now let's get back to the episode. Then again, on the other hand, if your sleep sucks the whole week, then hey, like, let's maybe just not do it, you know what I mean? So let's zoom out even further. And this is maybe not even the answer you expected, but still. Because they're both important. You should be lifting weights for health, for fitness, and you should be sleeping well for basically everything. Can we do both? How can we make both happen? Because I think for the vast majority of the people, it doesn't have to come down to waking up an hour earlier to work out. And hey, maybe that is the case. Fair. Because at the end of the day, it's your personal schedule that will dictate, you know, whatever is possible. But again, let's zoom out completely. Grab a pen and paper. Just start writing down what your week looks like. When do you work? When are you supposed to go to bed? Hey, let's address sleep. Like, are you actually getting to bed early enough? Because a lot of times, right, you don't even have to sacrifice sleep if you want to get up early. It's like, hey, we can get up an hour early to work out and just also be responsible and just go to bed 1 hour early. I know that's like a boring answer, but you know, and people will likely be like, oh no, but I want to watch Netflix. Yeah, that's cool. That's fine. But then don't tell me, you know, that you're tired. So it's all about kind of zooming out and thinking, you know, how can I do both? If that makes sense. Because sacrificing sleep is just, generally speaking, just not a great idea. And then again, right, adding exercise could be nice. But I mean, since you're a PT, I'm going to assume that this is maybe for yourself. In that case, you're already an active individual. I mean, this even goes back to like what I just said in the beginning, is like walking a walk, like, you know, doing the thing yourself, like taking that responsibility and being the example for your clients, for the people around you, the people who follow you on Instagram and stuff, you know, people who see you show up. Because again, hey, waking up early is amazing. Like I do it every morning. I wake up at 5 a.m. And you know what? Also in weekends, right? Also the weekend, because I also work Saturday and Sunday, at least in the morning. I have time off, but those mornings I'm still working. And trust me, like I recharge plenty, I sleep plenty, but I also take the responsibility to go to bed early, you know what I mean? But that being said, you know, we got to set the example, I feel like, as PTs, as coaches. And you know what? Also be that person who's, you know, able to go to bed early, to read a book, not be on Netflix all the time, and get enough sleep in. Especially as like health and fitness, like professionals, let's call it, like we should be the example, right? So let's work on both. Let's be active. Let's lift weights, do our cardio, but then absolutely make sure we get enough sleep at all times. It's just not worth sacrificing. Next question. They say it's probably very often asked, but that it's something. Let me see. This is a weird way of writing. Let me see. So let me just loosely translate this because it's not proper English. And that's okay. It's just difficult to read out loud. So they say it's probably a very commonly asked question, and then maybe it's confusing. Okay, yeah. Let's just get into it. It's kind of like a two-part. First of all, how and by how much should you do cardio for fat loss? Okay, so how and by how much? So I'm thinking maybe, okay, so it's probably what kind of cardio and how much should you be doing for fat loss. Now, let's start there. Should you be doing it for fat loss? You should not, in my opinion. Is it going to help with fat loss? Yes, absolutely. Is it going to be great for you to go into a fat loss phase thinking that cardio is going to be the tool for fat loss? Absolutely fucking not. That is a recipe for disaster, and almost every single time that has a negative consequence. Not even necessarily for fat loss, but mostly for the the relationship with exercise that we then create, because all of a sudden it becomes something that we just need to be doing to, in quotes, like burn calories, right? Burn fat. And that then becomes the measure of success. While in reality, we should be working out. And I'll give you a little bit more specific recommendations, but we should be working out for fitness, to build a stronger body, to be healthier, right? To live longer. Like, that's why we train. And that goes for both building muscle as well as doing some cardio, as well as hitting our steps. Now, speaking of steps, I would much rather see you, first of all, create a calorie deficit through nutrition. That's the number one thing you're going to be doing. And then supplement that with a high step count. Your daily activity, your non-exercise activity, also called NEAT, right, is, like, let's call it like any movement outside of the gym, right? Even blinking, walking, talking, etc. That accounts for 15% of how many calories you burn per day. And exercise, just about 5% on average. So that's a huge difference. So you're way better off looking at NEAT and making sure that you're moving throughout the day rather than thinking, hey, I'm going to burn fat during the workout, because you're not. It's going to help a little, but it's really not going to be that main driver, because it's only 5% of the amount of calories that you burn on a daily basis. So you can only imagine that, hey, like, that 5% is not going to make that much of a difference. And then they continue to ask, low-intensity cardio combined with HIIT. Yeah, so yes to low-intensity cardio. I do prefer low-intensity cardio as much as people think, right? Higher intensity is better, burn more calories and all this stuff. In the moment, yes, maybe. But it's often going to lead to you moving less throughout the day afterwards. Not just that, it tends to also increase hunger. So a lot of times people end up consuming more calories again. So that's going to work against your fat loss. Especially with like the high intensity thing, it's like, because you'll often hear this one, it's like, yeah, if you do high intensity training, then you're going to be burning calories, you know, for hours after the workout. And here's the thing, guys, that shouldn't even be the goal, right? Who cares about burning, you know, calories through, you know, through the workout and afterwards? Like, that's not the main goal here, you know what I mean? So again, get your steps up to 10k just about, and just kind of stay there. If you really want to push it, maybe you go to like 12 plus towards the end of your cut. But just about there is plenty. And then you just focus on your nutrition. You go into like just about a 15, 20% deficit, assuming you've been at maintenance before and you know kind of like where that is, right? And then, you know, keep protein high, keep, you know, filling foods high, making sure you can actually stick to your deficit. And then just train for fitness, for health, for muscle, for, you know, because you like going to the gym, because you're creating a new healthy identity of someone who goes to the gym, who does the work for their own long-term health. You know what I mean? So yes to low-intensity cardio. I do prefer that. And I do, like, personally, that's what I do. It's like lower-intensity cardio. It's 30 minutes. And it's like at a good pace still, right? But I can still talk, etc., right? At an incline. You know, it gets the sweat going as well, actually. But that's different than, right, thinking like, oh, I got to run for like a full hour or something, or like 2 hours and just be dying. Like, you know, you don't have to. Which, by the way, maybe even plays into like sweating and stuff, right? People tend to think like, oh, if I sweat a lot, if I'm completely just dead, that's a measure of like a good workout, but it's actually not. All sweating is just thermoregulation. Like, you overheat, right? And then your body cools it down. So I hope that makes sense. So nutrition, like, that's, you got to do fat loss through nutrition, right? The steps are going to help. Exercise, don't worry about it. Do it, yes, but not for that reason. And just focus on nutrition for the most part. And then they say, are there any good suggestions of when to take more protein, considering more or less cardio days? Nope. So you want to keep protein high. And you want to keep your macros just high in general, or at least obviously high, you know, within context, protein high, and keep your macros in check in general. You don't have to go low high days based on training, because here's the thing, without getting too kind of complicated here, you replenish glycogen, which is like stored carbohydrate in your muscles, over like maybe let's call it like up to 24 hours, right? It takes time to refuel. It's not just your post-workout shake or meal, whatever it is, right? And again, exercise doesn't burn that many calories. So it's not even that you need that many more calories to work out. Now, let me say this, though. I do think it's likely going to be best for you to have some type of like carbohydrate, like before training, to kind of like have some extra fuel, and especially after, right, to refuel as well. But then again, not having the same macros on like a rest day doesn't make sense to me, because here's the thing. Where do you build muscle? Not at the gym. You build muscle at home when you rest, when you're not using your muscles. That's when you build the muscle. That's when you recover. That's when your body needs the nutrients and the energy to do the work to actually build that muscle, which is energy expensive. So it doesn't make sense, even though it's a very common thing for people to think, right? To really keep kind of like high days for training and then low days when you have a rest day. Keep an eyes on high when it comes to protein, and then the rest of your macros, yeah, just keep them, you know, similar throughout the week. And that's what I recommend for most people. Next question. So maybe something about ultra processed foods and if it's always bad. For instance, a lot of people here are recommending to buy Greek yogurt instead of regular, or for instance, the Eat yogurt. So over here in Norway, we have Eat, which is a, like, let's call it like a high protein brand. And then let me see real quick, which a lot of people are buying because of its high protein content. Now, since Eat is more processed, a lot of people buy Greek yogurt and just put honey. So my question is, does it really have that much more nutrition value? So here's the thing, guys. And this is the issue with a lot of media in general, media coverage when it comes to nutrition. There's this whole thing going around in Norway right now about like these processed foods and it's all bad and whatever it is. But here's the thing, guys, right? A protein yogurt that's now labeled as, in quotes, ultra processed, it's totally cool. It's fine to have. It's not like you eat that for every single meal all the time. And not just that, it's actually a pretty good, you know, option. It's a, you know, product that I would often recommend to clients. And I think it's just not helpful to still have so much media and fear-mongering around the ultra-processed foods without looking at what you should be eating, you know what I mean? It's like, you know, all this focus on like, okay, this. But let me say it this way. Do we really think that a fucking protein yogurt, right, is the issue? Is a protein yogurt, even though it's a little bit more processed, right? Is a protein yogurt really the thing that we need to all be focusing on? Right? That's why, you know, people are obese and, you know, that's why people are unhealthy. Like, fuck no. Like, that's not the thing. If anything, objectively speaking, if more people, as much as maybe, like, let's call it a more processed option. If more people, let's just stick to Norway, right? All across Norway would increase their protein intake through that product, more people would be better off. Assuming they also, right, maybe lift some weights and those kind of things. Because here's the thing, guys. Protein is so important to build that muscle, right? To be healthy. A lot of people struggle with their health also because they have a lack of muscle mass, because lack of activity. And as we age, the body needs more protein to do the same amount of work to initially build that muscle, maintain it. And just all across the board, right? 9 out of 10 people who come to me for nutrition coaching, which is a lot of Norwegians, by the way, they come to me low on protein. We know that most people are not eating enough protein. So again, is it really helpful for us to really worry about a protein yogurt? Or should we be focusing on just in general, like bringing protein up and having some more, right? Let's call it minimally processed foods. Because here's the thing. Let me now get back more into the actual question, right? Because I know it's a little bit of a rant, but still, it really gets to me. Ultra processed foods are not by definition bad. Here's the thing. When was the last time we ate one food and just called that our diet? It's not a thing. Okay, let's use a French fry as an example. A single French fry. Would, objectively speaking, most people call that unhealthy? Yes. Because we have the seed oils and all this stuff, you know? Yes, true. High fat, whatever it is. Ultra processed. If you eat that one fry, nothing's going to happen. You know what I mean? Other than, okay, maybe you want to have a few more. Or hey, maybe you're just enjoying it. But you know what I mean though, right? And we could keep going. Hey, let's go to McDonald's. Let's get a Big Mac. Would the vast majority of people call that unhealthy because it's, in quotes, ultra-processed and unhealthy? Yeah. Does eating one Big Mac make your overall diet bad and more pro-inflammatory and, you know, unhealthy? No, it does not. It objectively does not, because what about the 99% of the rest of what you are eating? You know what I mean? So this is where I would love to take this conversation to, and I really would love to see way more of this, because that is going to be so much more helpful, right? So to your point, right, you mentioned Greek yogurt instead of the protein version. We can have both. It's totally cool. Is maybe a natural Greek yogurt a little bit less processed? Yes, but it's still a little bit processed, and that's okay. I mean, food processing isn't bad per se. I do get it, sure. There's a lot of foods, you know, in the ultra processed group that are like high in sugar, high in fat, also high in sodium, and they're literally designed to be as palatable as possible. Meaning, right, it's supposed to trigger you into eating more. Like that's sometimes literally, like there's brands who have like actual, you know, teams of scientists whose, that's their job, to make it as incredibly just delicious as possible. Anywhere from even the way it, I don't know, the chip like crunches, like when you bite into it and those kind of things, you know, like all that stuff is all designed from, you know, the taste to the smell and all those kind of things. That's why when you open up a bag of chips, we can't fucking just eat one. Like we got to finish the whole thing, and I'm guilty as charged, right? That's why I don't buy chips. But still, can we have something like that? Absolutely. And I like that option a lot. It helps a lot. They have these for all the listeners, right? Because we have a lot of Americans too. It's basically just like a protein brand with protein yogurts and protein milks. And those protein milks, it's like a little pack. It's like a palm-sized pack, almost like a small one. And it's like 20 grams of protein. Awesome. So let's now think about this, right? I think, objectively, is that going to be something that can be a great tool for someone to improve their nutrition? Yeah, absolutely. Because here's the thing. People are busy. People already eat too little protein. Can we just have that, you know, a glass of protein milk? Yes, it's a little bit more processed, but if you eat more protein for it, it might just make you healthier. It's not going to be the one thing. And that's my whole point here. One thing will, I know this is a long-winded answer, sorry. One thing is not going to be making your whole diet bad. One thing is also not going to completely transform your diet for the better. Like I said, let's zoom out and let's look at what we are currently eating as a whole. Because if someone is going for a Greek yogurt and just putting honey because they now think they need to avoid the protein milk or protein yogurt, you can do both. It's cool. It's fine. Personally, I'm going to go for the protein yogurt to eat because I just like that one. I like how it tastes. Convenient, it's quick, nothing wrong with that. But again, let's zoom out. Two extremes. Are we talking someone who is completely, right, their whole diet is just trash. Too little protein, very little fiber, barely eating any fruits and vegetables, mostly pizzas and, you know, packaged foods and whatever it is, and you know, sugary cereal or whatever it is. Would that person objectively benefit off of introducing something like this? Yeah, likely. Very likely. it might just be one of those first steps towards becoming a healthier individual. Because hey, at least now you're swapping something more sugary for a protein yogurt. And then we can add some fruits maybe. Let's maybe add some berries to the protein yogurt. Or the Greek yogurt for that matter, right? Let's then add maybe something else. You see? On the other hand, if someone is already eating super clean and all that, right? Already eating fruits and vegetables and they're hitting their protein and working on, does that person, do they need to worry about Greek yogurt versus a protein yogurt? Because it's processed? No, you don't have to. You don't have to. And then, of course, there's a whole lot in between that spectrum, right? And I know, again, this is like, again, a bit of a rant maybe. But I've seen this so much on social media these days. The ultra-processed food debate. Fuck that, you know? Can we just focus, to be honest with you, like, can we just focus on, hey, you know what? Let's add some more fruits and vegetables to your diet. Can we create a whole food meal with maybe something like a quality like meat or fish with maybe some potatoes, sweet potatoes, whole grains, whole grain products, whatever it is. Maybe add some healthy fats like extra virgin olive oil, avocado, and then maybe add some, you know, some zucchini squash or asparagus, whatever it is, right? Can we come up with basic meals like that? And instead of that fear-mongering, which social media is fucking full of too, like instead of that, can we just have a conversation about, hey, this is some nutritious, fiber-rich, protein-rich, healthy, in quotes, right? Whole foods or minimally processed foods. Can we just add more of that? I think that's a better approach. At least that's the way I go about this, right? And with not a single client of mine, do we focus on removing processed foods, right? No. I'm not going to lie. Obviously, we're not going to allow them to eat 100% processed stuff all the time. No, of course not. We have what's called the 80-20 rule, and we kind of stick to that for the most part, sometimes even 90, where 80 to 90% of the calories that we consume comes from minimally processed or whole foods, mostly whole foods, right? So we most definitely focus on quality foods, getting the nutrients in, both macro, micro, covering our calories, right? And just making sure we hit that fiber, super important also there. Most people are uneating fiber. That's the way we go about that. And not a single time have I focused on removing something because it's ultra-processed. That does not have to be the focus. So again, and I'm very passionate about this one because it really gets under my skin because it's not helpful. You know what I mean? And this is not even to the person asking the question. Like, absolutely not. Like, don't get me wrong either. But we now get the idea of, because we hear it all the time, right? Of, okay, it's ultra processed, so it's bad. I even had this in there was a Facebook group where I put up a post where I took a regular cottage cheese, which, I mean, let's be honest, it does say like rich in protein because like every label says that these days, but it was just a regular, normal cottage cheese brand, low fat, whatever, right? And then next to it, I put this protein yogurt, like the Eat. And I said, like, hey, this is like typical marketing stuff because that whole brand, the Eat, right? The whole protein milk, protein yogurt brand is marketed as that. Like it's the high protein brand. It's funny too, because they put really big 20 grams of protein on their pack. And then it says really small, like per 200 grams. So when you actually look at the label, and that was my point with that post, it's like you see the protein brand, let's call it, right? And I think it was 8 or 9 grams per 100 grams of the product. So 8 or 9 grams of protein per 100 grams. And then there was the normal natural like cottage cheese, which was like 13 grams per 100 grams of the product, you know? So 13 grams of protein per 100 grams. So that's a difference. Now, price-wise, they're pretty much the same. And I will say, like, I like the high protein brand, like let's call it in quotes, even though it's lower in protein by weight, I do like that one a little bit better. And sometimes I'll even mix them up. But I made that post with this kind of like message, right? I was like, it's marketed as, you know, a high protein product although we can just have something that's a little bit more like, let's call it like normal, that doesn't have to be like the high protein thing, that can also be a nice addition. And then going back to tie it into this question, the comments just went wild, right? Because as soon as you talk about someone's like, you know, food that they like, which by the way, I like both foods as well, you know, so that wasn't even my point. I just said like typical marketing, you know, people got super passionate, but then a lot of comments, right? Well, that's an easy decision because the Eat is, you know, the protein brand is highly processed. So, okay, so that's now the thing that we base these decisions on. You know what I mean? I don't think it's helpful. And you know what? I'm going to end this rant. Because here's the thing, guys. Focus on good foods. Focus on healthy foods, minimally processed foods most of the time. Be active, lift your weights, you know, do some cardio, and you're good. I was going to share a client story, but we're now 40 minutes in because I rant for too long. However, I will be recording another episode right now, right after I stop recording this one, where I will get into that story, and then I will continue the Q&A because we have more great questions. So that being said, have a great rest of your day. Great rest of your week. I hope you're doing great this winter. I know it's a bit of a weird time, a bit darker, a bit colder, maybe less motivation. You know, Christmas is around the corner. Lot more like festivities, which is super exciting, and I want to dive into that a little bit more in the next episode as well. But I mean that, like, I hope you're doing good. I know that winter is a weird time, you know. So hey, if you have other questions, feel free to hit me up on Instagram. Of course, if you did like this mini rant / Q&A episode, feel free to drop us a quick rating on Apple or Spotify, and then I will talk to you really, really soon. All right, that's it for today. As a thank you for sticking around, I'd like to send you a free copy of my ebook, The Definitive Fat Loss Nutrition Guide. Honestly, if you like the podcast, I'm sure you'll love the ebook. So if you want it, all you need to do is either click the link in the show notes or DM me on Instagram at johanvesters_OCS, and I'll personally send it to you. Thanks again for listening to today's episode. I'll talk to you soon.